Yeah, we're having a good time, everyone. Life has been good. Welcome back, living the good life, having fun, broadcasting coast to coast. Lots happening this morning on the horizon. We're going to get into it all. Got a great segment coming your way now. Again, just continuing to bring the knowledge here. Paxton Quigley, host of Cannabis Healing, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing really well, Adam, and how are you doing? Sounds like you're in very good spirits.
Ah, we're having a lot of fun, as always, and it's always a pleasure to have you bringing us the latest when it comes to, obviously, cannabis. What's on the horizon today?
Well, what's on the horizon is that, as always, I've got news. You know, every week, as I say, there's more and more news about cannabis. And I'd like to start with the latest news from England. I was reading the following in Marijuana Moment, and I quote, apparently England is getting closer to legalizing medical marijuana. The government's chief medical advisor officially announced that cannabis-based products have therapeutic benefits, and she happens to be a woman, lists them, and some of them she lists are helps alleviate chronic pain, alleviates chemotherapy-induced nausea and vomiting, and alleviates muscle spasms due to multiple sclerosis. So now the Home Secretary has ordered a so-called second phase review, and he has said, and I may quote him, I wish I had a good English accent, he said, it has become clear to me that the position we find ourselves in currently not satisfactory. It is not satisfactory for the parent. It is not satisfactory for the doctors. And it's not satisfactory for me. I've now come to the conclusion that it is time to review the scheduling of cannabis. Now, I don't have any insider information, but it appears to me, yes, that medical marijuana could be legalized sometime in 2019 in the United Kingdom. And that's big time, big time if that happens. Then, on another front, I was reading an Ad Age magazine. I don't know if you know it, but talks about advertising. And it says that some beer companies, get this, are getting into the cannabis business. And one of them is called Lagunitas Brewery. It's out in Petaluma, California. And it's doing something that's so totally off the wall. It's selling both THC and CBD infused sparkling water that they're calling Hi-Fi Hop. Now they have two different bottles. You can buy one or the other. One bottle has 10 milligrams of THC and no CBD. The other has 5 milligrams of THC and 5 milligrams of CBD. Now, I don't know what the rationale is behind all this. I think we should interview them and find out. But it's not going to be available all over the United States. At this point, it's only in California dispensaries. And then in the same Ad Age article, there's another beer company that's getting involved in this. And it's a big one. It's Molson Coors. And I quote, Molson Coors is looking into creating a cannabis-infused beverage, but it will only be sold in Canada. And finally, late last month, and this comes from my reading of the Huffington Post, it's reported that, and this is really interesting, the Republican Party of Texas, and you know, Texas is conservative, and the Republican Party is conservative, they've officially endorsed decriminalization of cannabis. And the Republicans are also calling on the U.S. government to reschedule cannabis from Schedule 1 to Schedule 2 and also to legalize hemp. And so from there, I'd like to introduce our guest today in discussion about hemp, because a lot of people don't understand what's going on in the so-called hemp industry. And we have what I call a high-ranking individual in the hemp world here, and her name is Erica McBride, and she's the executive director of the National Hemp Association that's located in Washington, D.C. Now, according to its website, and I just got to tell you a little bit about it, the association is nonprofit, and its mission is to support the growth and development of all aspects of the industrial hemp industry in America. Now, I don't know if you know this, but unfortunately, there is no hemp industry in the United States because it was made illegal with cannabis back in the 1920s. So there's a lot of work that has to be done. And as a matter of fact, the United States supposedly doesn't have enough hemp seeds, and it imports hemp seeds as well as hemp fiber. And it represents 95% or 90% of the worldwide market. So it's buying it when it could be grown here. And so I thought under those circumstances, it would be good to have Erica on to shed light. Erica McBride, are you there?
I'm here. Thank you for having me.
Good. You know, I'd like to first start out with you answering a question, because a lot of people really still don't know the difference between cannabis and hemp. Can you tell us the difference?
Okay. Well, first, there's no difference. Hemp is cannabis, and marijuana is cannabis, but hemp is not marijuana. So hemp and marijuana are both cannabis plants, and the only difference between the two is that hemp has a THC level of 0.3% or less. But other than that, both plants are cannabis sativa L, and it is only the THC level that is the scientific differentiation between hemp and marijuana. Another analogy we like to use to explain it to people is corn. If you think of sweet corn and field corn, you can sort of understand they're both corn, but people don't eat field corn.
That's for the animals, right?
Right. So it's sort of the same principle. They're the same genus and species, but they have very different purposes.
Okay. Now, hemp was made illegal a long time ago. Why was that?
Well, there's a lot of conflicting theories about that, and unfortunately we're sort of relegated to the realm of speculation. Some people think that it was the William Hearst and the DuPonts of the world that actively went to kill the hemp industry because of the introduction of nylon and it being interfering with the paper industry and the timber industry. And then there's other people who believe that hemp just sort of got caught up in the reefer madness, and because they didn't have a scientific way of telling the difference between hemp and marijuana back then, that it was just easier for them to make the whole plant illegal.
Okay, now I know that the Senate passed a farm bill that includes legalization of hemp.
Yes.
What do you think about that? And were you surprised by that?
No, I was not at all surprised about it. I mean, we've actually been working towards this for a very long time.
How long of a time? Are we talking like 5 years, or is it even longer than that?
Well, for some advocates, it's been, you know, 20 plus years. But for the current moment in time, if we look at just this latest session, as soon as Mitch McConnell introduced his legalization bill, that was Senate Bill 2667, we knew that he was contemplating the idea of amending it to the Farm Bill as opposed to trying to pass it as a standalone piece of legislation. So we weren't surprised by it, and it does seem to be the path of least resistance.
So next it has to go to the House of Representatives. Do you think they will pass it?
That's not quite the case. The House of Representatives had already passed their version of the Farm Bill that did not have the hemp legislation amended to it. So what happens now, the House passed a version and the Senate passed a version, and now it goes to what they call a conference committee. And that's where they reconcile the two bills and turn them into one bill. So this is the last step where there could potentially be a problem. meaning that we need to make sure that that hemp language stays in the final version of the bill. We are very hopeful that that will happen, considering that Mitch McConnell, as the Senate Majority Leader, he's the one who put it in there and is very supportive of it. We also have Chuck Schumer, who's the ranking Democrat in the Senate, that they both want this to stay in there. So we suspect that it will. But for anybody who's listening, I would encourage you to contact your senator and your congressman or congresswoman and encourage them to make sure that that hemp legislation stays in the farm bill.
Okay. If it stays in the farm bill, then does it go to the president for final signing?
Yes.
And what have you heard about his attitude toward this?
He'll sign it. I'm not worried about that. I mean, unless there's anything else in it, there's nobody really suspects that hemp in and of itself is going to be a problem for the farm bill, but there's a lot of consternation going on around the farm bill as it is relationship to the SNAP program or the food stamp program. So that's sort of the thing that they're arguing about right now that could potentially hold up passage of the bill. But certainly, we don't anticipate the president having any problem signing the farm bill that has anything to do with the hemp language being incorporated into it.
Now, I know that I have a couple of shirts that are made from hemp, not from cotton. Were they made here in the United States, or were they made somewhere else?
Most
because
likely
of the
legalization. It's not so much a question of legal. I mean, that's a big part of it, of course. But most hemp textiles are produced in China currently, and they grow a lot of hemp in China, and they also use some sort of chemical process to produce the fiber that they use in their textiles that we're not currently doing here. But most products like textiles and all other hemp products are made overseas because of the legalization issues. And even though we've had a burgeoning hemp industry since the 2014 Farm Bill passed, it's been very limited because each state has been operating under its own set of rules and guidelines with very limited commercial activity being allowed.
No doubt about it. Erica, thank you so much for your time. Wish we had more time. Paxton, you did it again. Great guest and great reporting as usual. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks so much, everyone.
Thank you. Bye-bye.